Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long in studio. Today is Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And I know you can't get you can't wait for Thursday night. It's cranked it up, babe.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, we're fired up. We're tired of hitting each other. We're ready to go play somebody else. And this Thursday night's going to be a fun opportunity for our guys to go cut it loose and put all this hard work, put it out there on the field.
Coach, right off the bat, to ask you, from a health standpoint, how are you looking right now?
Yeah, we've got a couple guys that are going to be some game-time decisions. Not a terrible number. I mean, two or three. Other than the long-term, we got three or four guys that are long-term injuries that haven't happened in training camp, but a couple of them happened there in spring ball. But in regards to training camp, we've got maybe three guys that are sort of questionable, if you will. I think one of them's trending positive, and the other two are kind of holding as questionable. But, well, you know, it's a physical game, the wear and tear. You're never 100%. You know, my college trainer, he asked me when I was a freshman, he said, "Hey, do you feel like you're 100%? I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Remember this, because you're never going to feel this way ever again." And so in our world, you're never fully 100% once the banging starts in training camp. And we got bumps and bruises, but all in all, I'm fairly happy with how healthy we are.
Coach, about 10 days ago, you were on with us, and you were point blank about it. Listen, I wouldn't be hesitant to play the redshirt freshman quarterback. If Abar was here, he would say, "Mike, listen, nothing else compares to the quarterback position. That's number one, 1A, 1B, 1C." And that has sort of played out in some of your workouts and everything with Darian Mensah having the first team duties. But you've also mentioned to me that you felt as though that you wouldn't be hesitant to play the other guys if need be also.
Yeah, you know, I think as you go through it, all we have to evaluate is practice so far. And, you know, the beautiful thing in the NFL is they get preseason games, right? And they get to throw guys in preseason games and let them see kind of how they perform under the lights against another team. Well, we don't get that luxury. We get four non-conference games, and we open the season with four straight non-conference games, which I kind of like because they all go on a permanent record for us. We don't get the preseason, like I said. But our number one objective and goal is win our conference championship. And so these first couple games, do we want to win them? Hell yeah, we want to win them. But it's also a time to experiment and kind of see maybe a couple of different packages, a couple of different guys in the game, and kind of see how they respond. And we're not going to probably roll guys through as much as you would in an NFL preseason game. But I could see a scenario where you could see three quarterbacks play. I mean, somebody's going to start the game. And we got a couple of things we feel good about with each guy. And really the biggest thing with the youngster, with the Mensah kid, is he is just continually, with every opportunity we've given him, he's shown up. And he's made the people around him play at a high level. He's played at a high level. He's kind of been a force multiplier where the guys that line up next to him play a little better when he's in it, seems like. And so he's elevated a lot. The other guys have done some good things. I mean, Kai Horton probably had his best week of practice this past week, honestly. And so they've all given us reasons for optimism. There's, you know, nobody that's really earned maybe being the guy or said, "Hey, I'm the long-term guy" yet. But we've got a healthy room there. And the biggest thing is just keeping those guys ready for when their moments come, because I think at some point this year we may need each one of them to win a game or two here and there.
Coach, I know the guy that you're going against, and I always ask him this just to get confirmation, but Coach Selfo, you know, he's always a multi-quarterback guy. And he's told me that, Mike, ever since I've been a coach, I love to play multiple quarterbacks. He says, you know, because if your starter goes down and the other guy don't have no experience, you know, it's like trying to row a boat and you don't have no paddle. You just sort of drifting out there. And so from a defensive standpoint, understanding that you may play multiple quarterbacks, but you got to go up against a team that you know will play multiple quarterbacks.
Yeah, I got asked this question earlier today, post-practice, was, you know, it sounds like they might play three, we might play three. You know, you see six quarterbacks in a college game, that's not the norm. But, yeah, I got a lot of respect for Frank. He's a really good football coach. Offensively, man, I'm very impressed with what they do schematically. And he identifies very well what each quarterback does well and kind of caters to their strengths. And they've got a really good plan offensively. I've been very impressed with what they do schematically. And Frank Sharp, he's a really good coach. And they're going to present some challenges for us Thursday night. I mean, what they put on tape already from last year will give you some issues. And I'm sure they're going to have some things that we haven't seen on video that we have to be ready to adapt to and adjust to during the game. But I think he's on to something there in some regard of, you know, it's nice to have at least a couple guys that can go in the game if need be, because you lose a guy, you need to have the next guy ready.
Coach, one of the guys that you brought up numerous times on, and I think that has kind of played out, has been Dante Fleming. I saw Dante when he was at East St. John. I still live on the bayou, so I get to see him. You know, he's a River Parish guy, and he has really, really progressed well for your football team.
Dante has had arguably the best offseason of anybody on our team. He's worked incredibly hard. You know, it's amazing how when a guy works really hard, he gets great results. You know, I mean, and Dante, I think he's got an opportunity to have a big year. I really do. He runs great routes. He's got really good speed. You know, he's a little bit longer than you realize. His catch radius is a touch bigger than you probably recognize at first. But man, I go back and, you know, when our guys had the month of May off, I felt like every time I was walking around the building, I see Dante. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm just getting some extra work in. He's worked his butt off, and he couldn't be more proud of the kid. You know, last year didn't have maybe the year he wanted to, but he's a prime example of just sticking with it and believing in yourself and not giving up. And I think really big things are ahead of this year for Dante, and it's because he's put the work in. So I couldn't be more proud to see what he's done. He probably had the best training camp out of anybody on our entire team, and I'm fired up to see what he does this season.
Coach, staying on the offensive side of the ball, I wanted to bring up, obviously, Mekhi Hughes, who just seems like he was such a bell cow for the Green Wave offense last year, going over 1,300 yards. And we talked with Gary Smith, who covers Tulane for the Times-Picayune, the other week about this, and he had the article that, you know, Mekhi Hughes wants to go over 1,500 yards. And it reminded me of your time at Troy, Kamani Vidal, who had a great, basically back-to-back great seasons, but last year, his senior year, 1,582 yards. I mean, with your offense and what you kind of want to do with this Green Wave team, is how big of a season is someone like Mekhi Hughes, who's already been there, done that, how big of a season is he in store for?
Yeah, I think he's got an opportunity to have a great year. You know, I'm a firm believer that you can throw to score, but, man, you got to run to win. Like, if you want to be able to beat anybody anywhere, anytime, you got to be able to run the football. And we're committed to run the football. You know, I mean, and the way Kamani did it at Troy for us, he really wore people down. And he really wasn't much – him and Mekhi have some similarities in regards to their running style. Mekhi's maybe a touch bigger, not a lot, but a little. They're similar speed. But I think the physicality they both play the game with, they both have a little bit of a battering ram mindset. And you know, with our inexperience at quarterback, I've told those guys, hey, you've got really good pieces around you. We've got a great runner in the backfield with Mekhi. We've got an offensive line that's got great experience, and not all of it's been at Tulane, but it's a very experienced group that's played at various places. And so we're going to lean on those guys to let our quarterback kind of find his stride, get in rhythm, not put the quarterback under all the pressure in the world. I mean, the quarterback's best friend is a great O-line, a great running back. And so that opens up the throw game for you a lot better. But Mekhi will definitely be a workhorse. If our offense is not sure what to do, I'll have no problem reminding them to turn around and hand the ball off to him and let him go to work.
And then on the defensive side of the ball, Coach, I wanted to bring up another Sun Belt guy. I mean, you could probably tell I'm a Sun Belt person myself. I'm a former UL Raging Cajun, so I followed it pretty closely.
Don't hold that against him.
Coach, I got to say, Troy was pretty tough the last couple of years, so I know exactly what you're bringing to the Green Wave. And Aiden Huntington, you know, from UL Monroe, what have you kind of seen from him? He had that breakout year last year with the Warhawks, 8.5 sacks on the defensive line. And I just want to get your thoughts on how he's looked both at camp and heading into the season.
Yeah, you know, Aiden's about 285 pounds. He's not the tallest guy. He's probably about 6'1". He reminds me of a hybrid of two players I've coached, both of which are on NFL rosters right now. Josh Pascal, who plays for the Detroit Lions, who I had at Kentucky, is one of them. The other is Javon Solomon, who he had at Troy. Javon led all of college football in sacks last year. But Aiden's got power, explosiveness, twitch. He plays with violence. We got ready to play them last year at Monroe towards the end of the season. And I watched tape, and I told my offensive staff, I said, hey, do whatever you want. Don't let that guy wreck our game. Because he was the guy that, I mean, he stood out. He looked different. I thought he was the second best D lineman in our league last year behind Javon, to be quite honest. And so when he decided to go in the portal, it kind of got down to us in Oklahoma. And we were fortunate to come on the right side of that recruiting battle. And he's a really good player. I think his best football is in front of him. I think he's really played with athleticism and just instinct. But I think his level of detail in regards to technique, fundamentals, and developing to become a next-level player has improved since showing up in June. And I think he's only going to get better and better. And, you know, the nice thing is we already have Pat Jenkins at one end in our 3-4. And now you put Aiden to the other end, it's like, all right, those tackles are going to have some issues to deal with. And so we need to cut those guys loose and keep it simple enough they go play fast and affect the quarterback and be disruptive and create negative plays versus the run.
They also can open up some lanes for your linebackers to just jet through and make a play. Because you're so worried about blocking Jenkins, you're so worried about blocking Aiden that sometimes that linebacker gets through untouched.
There's no doubt. Those guys up front can make a linebacker's job really easy. And sometimes, you know, if you want to run some pin-pull plays or some pet plays where maybe the O-linemen don't honor the D-line enough, those D-linemen wreck shop. And then if you really want to hang on your blocks from the down guys, those linebackers get a chance to run free a little bit more. So those guys, those second-level players in our defense are fortunate to play behind a pretty good front, who I think is going to create some opportunity for those guys to go run and make plays.
Throughout the years, Coach, I know people have brought up, especially early in the season, though it happens all the time, that early on the communication sometimes isn't as good as you'd like it in the secondary. And so you see a lot of crossing routes, okay? I got him to a certain extent, then you got him. I was supposed to guard him, and then you break free. I think early on in the season, you see teams sort of attack that a lot, especially with a team with young corners. Because that communication, people don't get it. Maybe you can explain that the communication route there between your corners and safeties when you see a team who runs a lot of crossing routes.
Yeah, it's a great question. We do the same thing offensively because to create those issues.
Yeah, right.
And defensive. I mean, that's a big part of our offense is running some climb routes, some over routes, some routes that cross the ball. And really the important thing there, like you said, the pre-snap communication, if you do that part right, it makes the post-snap a whole lot easier. It's no different than if you start fast, it's easier to finish strong. Well, if you get the pre-snap right, and that's alerting a split or a spacing, like most of the times I can tell you what the route combination could be off of the alignment of the receivers. Well, if you look at that, you take the pre-snap picture and you communicate properly across the secondary and linebacker, it makes passing those things off or matching them if we need to match them, depending on the route combination, the coverage called, it makes executing the pattern match a lot easier. And so that's something we drill a lot. That's something that I think you do see early in the year. It's making sure guys are all on the same page. You know, most football games are lost, not won. And the most important team to beat, not beat, is don't beat yourself. Like, just if you don't beat yourself by giving up explosive plays in the pass game where you cut guys free, you make them earn it. That gives you a chance to have success.
Coach, one of the things, this is football, it's a physical sport, and you're going to take some hits and some injuries. And this was, I think, right after the national championship year, Coach O had asked me, he said, listen, you got some free time. He said, do a deal on which spots, position-wise, have the most injuries in college pro football. And it was no question. Offensive line, tackles, guards, they sort of dominated the spot in both the NFL and in college football. Your thoughts on that? Because you could say, well, you know, he's my sixth man or maybe my seventh man, but due to injuries, he's got to play. So your thoughts on who would be first guy coming off the bench if you lost one of your tackles or your guard?
Yeah, inside at center guard, Caleb Thomas. We're very fortunate to have him on our roster. He's played over 1,000 snaps collegiately. He'd be the first guy in the game at center or guard, and we actually already have a plan for him to rotate in the game plan going in, you know, so he's going to play snaps in the game Thursday night either way, healthy or whatever. He's playing some, and so he's played a lot of football, and we have a luxury there to have a guy that's played center and guard at this level with that many snaps. So he'll be the first guy inside. Landry Cannon could also be a very viable option inside at guard, has not played as much center, where CT has played center and guard. And then at right tackle would be Darion Reed. At left tackle would be Reese Baker. We got a freshman, Reese Baker, who from my hometown in Alabama, he was a highly recruited kid, had an Auburn offer early, who I think's got a really bright future at tackle, and he's with us. So he's a backup at left. Youngster, but a really way ahead of the learning curve in regards to understanding how to play the game. So those are our first guys in the game. CT, Caleb Thomas inside with Landry Cannon, who's from Destrehan, kind of the next guy at guard after that. And then at right tackle, like I said, Darion Reed, and left tackle, Reese Baker.
Coach, before we let you run, you kind of mentioned the freshman, and that's a question that I have for you, because in the modern day, a lot of the times if you're not getting playing time as young players, some guys will hop into the portal. And so my question to you is, I mean, what kind of freshmen have kind of stood out at camp so far to you that could get early playing time with the Green Wave?
Yeah, I'd say right out of the gate, Javion White and Jaden Lewis at Spear Nickel are going to see time. Sean Nicholas at wide receiver, he's from West Jeff High School. He's actually a young man that was committed to us at Troy when I took the job here. We brought him here. So those guys will play. Jamari McClure, running back, is likely to play and play significant time as the year goes. Mentioned Reese Baker at left tackle will play. Other guys could play, but those are really the top candidates, I think, to play a lot of meaningful snaps as we enter game one.
Coach, thanks so much for sparing some time with us this afternoon. Man, I know game day is right around the corner. Appreciate it and wish you best of luck.
Appreciate you guys. Look forward to talking to you again soon. Roll Wave.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. That was Tulane head football coach John Sumrall. Tulane Tuesday was brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com.